It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Monday, October 28th, 2019. We have 19 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, we have north winds 5 to 10 knots, rising to 10 to 15 in the afternoon, wind waves from the north 2 feet at 4 seconds apart, northwest swells 4 feet at 13 seconds. And today we're going to be talking about commercial fishing and how that relates to a recent Facebook post I made that featured a picture of a fishing boat. We'll talk about that in just a minute, but first let's take a look at who's coming and going on the Columbia River today. We have 5 inbounders, we have 6 in our Astoria anchorages, and we have 8 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. Our first arrival in the river is the Chola Virtue. She's arriving from Japan, headed for Astoria's anchorage. She's going to be picking up wheat eventually upriver. She'll arrive in Astoria's anchorage around 9:30 a.m. The USNS Henry J. Kaiser is a military sealift command ship owned by the Navy but staffed by civilians. She's arriving from San Francisco, headed for the shipyard in Portland. And she'll pass Astoria around 10:30 a.m., arriving in Portland probably by about 5 p.m. Next inbound is the Chembulk Hong Kong. She's arriving from Los Angeles, headed for Vancouver. She'll pass Astoria around 1:30 p.m. and arrive in Vancouver at around 7:30 in the evening. The Sage Danube is the next inbounder, arriving from South Korea, headed for Astoria's anchorage. She'll be picking up wheat eventually, but she'll arrive in Astoria's anchorage around 2:30 p.m. The Kurupi is arriving from Japan, headed for Astoria's anchorage. She'll be heading upriver to pick up potash eventually. She'll arrive in Astoria's anchorage around 10:30 p.m. Already anchored offshore in Astoria, we have the Glycophilusa. That's a really interesting name, awaiting orders. She's a wheat ship. She'll be picking up wheat eventually upriver, as will the Wise Young, also awaiting orders in the anchorage. In fact, all of our awaiting ships, I think, are all waiting for to go upriver and pick up wheat. The Pictor, the Genco Provence, the Alpha Loyalty, and the Medi Newport. And then our outbounders, the Impression Bay is leaving Portland. I think she might have come in with cement on board, leaving around 6 a.m., passing Astoria outbound around noontime. The Emerald Star is leaving Kalama's anchorage around 9:30 a.m., passing Astoria outbound around 2:30 p.m. The Dion is leaving Longview with logs on board around 10 a.m., passing Astoria outbound around 1:30 p.m. The American Freedom is leaving Portland. She's a petroleum tanker, leaving around 11:30 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 5:30 a.m. on Tuesday morning. And the articulated tug and barge rig, the Ocean Reliance, is leaving Portland carrying petroleum. She's leaving around 12:30 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 6:30 p.m. The Volans Leader is leaving Vancouver. She's a car carrier with Subarus on board, leaving around 2 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 8 p.m. The Silver Lake is leaving Longview carrying petcoke at about 4 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 7:30 p.m. And the Morning Catherine is leaving Portland. She's a car carrier with Hyundais on board, leaving around 6 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around midnight. Well, today we're going to hear from a new interview that I just did last week, all about commercial fishing. And this interview came about after I posted a picture on Facebook of a really cool-looking sailing tuna boat that had been docked at the port of Astoria that was earlier this month. And she had arrived at the port from out in the Pacific. She was registered in Hawaii, and when I looked up the boat's registry, it was listed as something called a longliner. Now, I posted that information on Facebook with the picture of the boat. And soon after, I saw a post from someone complaining that longlining is one of the most destructive kinds of fishing there is and is very hard on sea turtles and seabirds. In effect, they were taking me to task for having posted something positive about this picture. Now, I know this person, and I think they had a point. And one of the points for me was that I really didn't know a whole lot about what longlining is or what the consequences of it may be out in the ocean, or really very much at all about the finer details of commercial fishing. So I decided to find someone to talk with about this so they could shed some light on whether this person's statement was true and true for West Coast fisheries here where we live and U.S. fisheries in general. So this week on the Ship Report, we'll hear excerpts from my interview with Amanda Gladix. You may know her, especially if you've taken one of the Clatsop County commercial fisheries tours. She's a fisheries extension faculty member with Oregon Sea Grant and is based at the OSU Extension Office in Astoria. She studies interactions between wildlife and fisheries and does public education about seafood and fish. So we're going to hear from Amanda. Here is the first clip. We're going to hear all week about fishing and longlining and other things related to that. And here we go. Here's Amanda.
Most of the albacore tuna that's caught off our coast is caught in one of two fashions. So the first is trolling, which is a hook and line style fishing, but it's essentially single hooks on single lines that are trailed behind the boat while the boat is moving forward. So a lure is on that hook until the tuna come up and bite on it, and then they're brought in one at a time. It's a very, very selective way of fishing, which I think is important to recognize. So pretty much they're going to places where they're only going to find tuna, albacore tuna for the most part. And that fashion of bringing fish on one at a time really makes it very selective. The other style is another hook and line style fishing, but it's called a live bait system. So they actually bring on live small fish that they keep on board until they get to the tuna grounds, and then they try to find an area where there are tuna, and they put that live bait in the water to initiate sort of a feeding frenzy of the tuna. And once they have a lot of tuna around the boat, the fishermen will sort of sit in or stand in sort of a basket or a platform on the back of the vessel. And they'll use a long bamboo pole with an unbaited hook to drop into the water. And the fish are so excited by the bait that's in the water, and they're in this feeding frenzy, that they'll actually strike on those unbaited hooks. And so it's a very fast process where they'll catch as many fish as they can in that pretty short interval. So it's another very selective fishery. They're going just to the places where the tuna are and catching them one at a time.
So there's a little about how the albacore tuna that we tend to eat here in Oregon is caught. There's a lot more to this story than that, including an explanation of what longlining is and how the longlining we do here in U.S. waters is very different from longlining done in other parts of the world, particularly in international waters where there is little jurisdiction and a lot of illegal fishing is taking place. This interview, in fact, made me very mindful of the fact that the best way to not support destructive fishing is to buy locally caught fish, or at least fish caught in U.S. waters. We're blessed here with abundant seafood that is locally caught by ethical fishermen. I'm reading a chilling book right now called The Outlaw Ocean. It's all about illegal commercial fishing. The author, Ian Urbina, is an investigative reporter with the New York Times, and he estimates that one in five fish on our plates has been illegally caught. That statistic probably applies more in other places than in the Pacific Northwest because of our abundant availability of fresh-caught fish, but it's still a startling statistic. We'll talk more about commercial fishing tomorrow on The Ship Report. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.